Welcome to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. I am your host, D.B. Spitzer. And tonight, we're going to be talking about all kinds of things related to the dream cycle of H.P. Lovecraft, of course. We're going to be talking about a few great old ones that get a little bit of mention, and we're going to mention them just a little bit. We're going to be talking about the Men of Lang, the Moon Beasts, the Moon itself. What else are we going to talk about? We're also going to talk about some night gaunts and some strange eons. No, not a reference to that specific couplet. We're actually going to be talking about the magazine, Strange Eons. And as always, People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is brought to you by BunnySlippers.com. Put them on your feet. It's getting cold outside, people. Bunny slippers. They got all kinds of bunny slippers. Everything from Cthulhu to giant lizard feet. Zombie faces eating your feet, and cool fun stuff like that. And founditemclothing.com. You like a shirt that you saw in a cool movie from the 80s or the 90s, possibly the 70s? Check it out, founditemclothing.com. You have a particular horror movie that you like? They might have it. I mean, they've got They Live t-shirts. How many times have you seen a They Live t-shirt lately? Well, if you're me, not that often, because I don't get out that much, but go to founditemclothing.com, get a Texas Chainsaw Massacre shirt, get a shirt that Booger wore in Revenge of the Nerds. I'm wearing one right now. All right, founditemclothing.com. It's the foundiest. Okay, and this is the last plug. You can try out... I'm not going to do that one. Hey, if you really want to help out the show, pick up some old episodes. It's $15 for all the old episodes. And that lasts for 6 months, and I'm sure you can go through our entire back catalog in probably about 2 months if you really wanted to. And, yeah, it helps the show. It helps pay for the bills and stuff like that that sponsors don't cover. And also helps it so that I can go to horror conventions and let you guys know about what's going on and hassle publishers for free books so that I can get free books for the show. On with the show. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. Edited and produced by D.B. Spitzer. Music by D.B. Spitzer and Kevin MacLeod. And, of course, listeners like you who help the show grow and get better. So if you want to help the show get better, iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe. That's what I was thinking. Sarcomond, a fictional city in H.P. Lovecraft's dream cycle stories, first mentioned in The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath, a ruined city on the northern shore of the Cyrenian Seas in the Dreamlands. It is described as being inhabited by the Men of Lang, and supposedly the capital of this race's realm in the distant past before they were conquered by the Moon Beasts. The most prominent feature of the Sarcomond is the winged lions guarding the trapdoor beneath which a spiral staircase descends into the dark abyss of the Dreamlands underworld. The city's name may have been inspired by Samarkand. Samarkand from Sogdian, Stone Fort or Rock Town. Alternatively, Samarkand or Samarkand is a city in modern-day Uzbekistan and is one of the oldest inhabited cities in Central Asia. If you saw a picture of it, you'd recognize and be like, oh, yeah, it's that city that's all made of stone. There is evidence of human activity in the area of the city from the late Paleolithic era, though there is no direct evidence that when exactly Samarkand properly was founded. Some theories are that it was founded between the 8th and 7th century BC, prospering from its location on the Silk Road between China and the Mediterranean at times. Samarkand was one of the greatest cities in Central Asia. Let's talk about the Men of Lang, who are known to live in Sarcomond. The Langanites are a primitive satyr-like individual from the plateau of Lang in the Dreamlands. Whether or not they are part of, I don't know, the same race as the Chocho, I'm not quite sure. But they're mentioned throughout Lovecraft's dream cycles, especially in Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath. They also appear in The Clock of Dreams and Mad Moon of Dreams by Brian Lumley. The Moon Beasts, who conquered the Men of Lang, the Moon Beasts were created by H.P. Lovecraft as well. They are a
great grayish-white slippery things which could expand and contract at will, and whose principal shape, though it often changed, was sort of a toad without eyes, but with a curious vibrating mass of short peak tentacles on the end of its blunt, vague snout. Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath, Lovecraft. They live on one side of the Dreamland's moon, which, unlike the moon of the waking world, has great forests and oily seas. Moon beasts sail black galleys between the moon and the Dreamlands, trading rubies for both slaves and gold in the port town of Dialathaline, where they employ the men of Lang, disguised in turbans, as their go-between, and the moon beasts stay hidden below deck, lest the merchants of Dialathaline learn the terrible secret from whom they are dealing with. The moon men. I mean, beasts. According to Dan Harms, Sarkmond is a dreamland city in a valley below Lang, lying between the basalt cliffs of the plateau and the sea. The men from Lang used Sarkmond as their capital until they met the moon beasts a million years ago, hence why this episode falls into the timeline here. The Ice Age is coming, but in the Dreamlands, the Ice Age is not there. The moon beasts still use Sarkmond as a place for docking and unloading captives. In its time, Sarkmond was a great city, with many avenues and columns and gardens. Roads from the six gates guarded by the Sphinx statues ran into the plaza where two-winged lions made its diorite, still guarded an entrance to the great abyss. Nearby lay the low circular temple of the great old one, Urn, who dwells beneath the city. And Urn is the bride, or no, Orn is, I wouldn't say bride, I would say the counterpart to Minoqua. Minoqua and Orn, the celebrity couple of the Dreamlands. Let me talk about Orn for a moment. Orn is considered the wife of Minoqua. She's described as a huge tentacled mollusk with appendages that spray digestive acids. She's worshipped by the men of Lang and the moon beasts, and she is mentioned in Mad Moon of Dreams by Brian Lumley. Minoqua, on the other hand, is the lord of the Black Lake. Minoqua is a great reptilian creature with a crown of writhing feelers and empty sockets in the place of eyes, although they still work like normal eyes for some reason. He is trapped inside of the Dreamland's moon, directly inside of the moon itself. Though how he got trapped there is unknown, he is the mate of Urn, and when the Great Old Ones awaken to lay waste to our world, then Minoqua will be reunited with his bride. He is called the Lord of the Black Lake because he rules over the Lake of Uboth, a great lake which is under the moon in the very center. Now, Sarkmond is known to also be the, I don't know, portal, one portal at least, to the underworld of the Dreamlands. The underworld of the Dreamlands itself, though, is dimly lit by a mysterious phosphorescence known as the Death Fire. It is inhabited by all kinds of horrible creatures, but most commonly ghouls. There happens to be ghasts down there, which live within the vaults of Zin. They are much larger than man and have a vaguely human face, albeit missing a nose. Their skin is rough and knotty, and their senses are unusually acute. They can see in the dark and have a strong sense of smell. They hop about on a pair of hooved kangaroo-like legs and are swift, strong, and agile. They have been known to be described as lacking a forehead. Ghasts prefer to dwell in complete darkness and have no tolerance for natural light. Sunlight will kill them instantly. Otherwise, the dim, pale glow of the underworld seems to suit them quite well. They happen to also be aggressive carnivores that hunt in packs, though they are quick to turn cannibalistic when no game is readily available. They mostly prey on gugs and have no qualms about eating other denizens of the underworld. They're known for being particularly savage and gruesome, rendering and tearing apart their victims with their muzzles, paws, and hoofed feet. Gugs? It was a paw, fully 2.5 feet across, and equipped with formidable talons. After it came another paw, and after that a great black furred arm, to which both of the paws were attached by a short forearm. Then two pink eyes shone, and the head of the awakened Gug sentry, large as a barrel, wobbled into view. The eyes jutted 2 inches from each side, shaded by bony protuberances overgrown with coarse hairs. But the head was chiefly terrible because of its mouth. The mouth had great yellow fangs that ran from the top to the bottom of the head, opening vertically instead of horizontally. H.P. Lovecraft. The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath. Gugs are a race of horrifying giants. They are speechless, communicating only by facial expressions. Gugs were banished to the underworld by Earth's gods and the Great Ones for an unnamed blasphemy. Now they reside in a terrifying underground city, dwelling in lofty, round, cyclopean towers. Nearby, colossal monoliths mark the cemetery of the Gugs. Amidst of the Gug city, the Tower of Koth contains a stairway that leads to the Enchanted Wood in the Upper Dreamlands. There is sealed by a huge stone trapdoor with a large iron ring. Because of the curse of the gods, no Gug may open that door, though no such restriction prevents a Gug from climbing to the very top of the tower. Gugs prey on ghasts that live in the vaults of Zin, though prior to their banishment they had been known to devour wayward dreamers. There, in sufficient numbers, ghasts may likewise prey on Gugs, though Gugs would seem to have the advantage. They, nonetheless, superstitiously fear ghouls. The Gugs often indulge in great feasts and, once engorged, retire to the great towers to sleep. Ghouls also live in the undergrounds as well. I don't need to talk about ghouls. We know what ghouls are. But directly below the ruins of Sarkamond is possibly a massive cavern that joins with all parts of the underworld. It connects the Upper Dreamlands by a stairway to Sarkamond, the abysses ruled by the god Nodens, who we spoke of a couple weeks back, and is served by the Night Gaunts, which we really haven't gone into yet, but we will in the future. Noden's influence seems to be very languid in the underworld, and does not appear to extend much beyond the abyss itself, except perhaps to Nagrek and its towering extinct volcano. It is a 2-day ride by zebra from Baharna. The caves of Nagrek connect with tunnels that stretch to the lower reaches of the Dreamlands. Night Gaunts regularly use these passageways to travel to and around the underworld. While we're talking about Nodens and the Dreamlands and Sarkamond and all those Diathalene and all those fun, cool names and places, let's talk about something that's also related to that. High House in the Mist, Nodens. Let's talk about Night Gaunts. You know what? I didn't plan on talking about Night Gaunts, but let's talk about Night Gaunts. The creatures first appeared in the poem Night Gaunts from the novella The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath, both by Lovecraft. Night Gaunts were inspired by Lovecraft's childhood nightmares. He used to dream about these faceless black things coming into his room and tickling him. I really hope that was a dream that he had and not just... Night Gaunts have a vaguely humanoid shape. They are thin, black, and faceless. Their skin is slick and rubbery. They sport a pair of inward-facing horns on their head, a large barbed tail, and a prehensive paws which are used to tickle their victims into submission. They can fly using a set of membranous wings. They make no sound. Night Gaunts are associated with at least 2 of the Cthulhu Mythos deities. Lovecraft's own writings, notably the strange High House of the Mist, list them as the servants of Nodens, Lord of the Great Abyss, which we just mentioned. A relatively benevolent but still incredibly alien entity among the Lovecraft pantheon. Brian Lumley instead associated them with the creature Yub Sutil, noting that they suckle at the creature's black breasts, suggesting that they possess a mouth, which would seem to contradict Lovecraft's description as them being faceless. Although it is possible that the creature's mouths are somehow concealed, or that Lumley was speaking metaphorically, or they've got faces like the Demigorgon in Stranger Things that just kind of opens up. Night Gaunts guard Negronyek, an infamous mountain on the Isle of Oreab in the Dreamlands. They sometimes capture unwary climbers, tickling them into submission with their claws and barbed tails, and carry them to the lower reaches of the Dreamlands. Night Gaunts are sometimes used as steeds by the ghouls of the deeper Dreamlands, but do not like to fly over bodies of water, and like many, many, many of these Lovecraftian entities, these creatures of dark myth, these creatures, these monsters of the Cthulhu mythos, there is a metal band named after them. There is an Italian metal band called Night Gaunt. I'm still, you know, waiting to hear about a metal band called Aboth the Unclean, which I think would be pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Anyway, enough of that. So that's it for the Dreamlands little bit dealing with a million years ago when the moon beasts took over. The men of Lang lost Sarkamond and, you know, talked about Orn and Orn's husband and, yeah, just had a good fun time. So just a reminder, if you ever want to talk to me, you want to ask me a question, you want to find out something, go to pgttcm.com/contact and ask me anything, you know? AMA. You can find us on most social media outlets, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, you know, it's all good. It's all good. And of course, you can check out the RSS feed where the 20 most current episodes are always free at pgttcm.com. Thank you so much for listening, and on with the next piece.
Greetings, listeners. I'm Sam Davis, the host of Inward Empire, a podcast that explores the role of ideas, ideology, and myth in American history. Each episode plunges you eye deep into a world that's both intensely familiar and profoundly different from the one we live in now. From the forests of colonial New England, to the scarred mental battlefields of Civil War veterans, to the contested streets of Gilded Age cities, I aim to bring the American past alive for my listeners, and at the same time, illuminate the American present. For more information about the show, visit darkmyths.org, or my own website at inwardempirepodcast.wordpress.com.
Darkmyths.org. I like that stuff. There's a lot of good stuff on there. I mean, I'm on there, and you guys like me. You guys like me, right? If you don't, oh, that's fine, that's fine, that's cool. I've got other listeners. They're cool with me. Anyway. Now we're going to talk about Strange Eons. Yes, Strange Eons. A magazine roughly about 56 pages, black and white, color and parts. Little bits of comic strips and funny bits and pieces here and there, some serious scary things. Kind of like if Heavy Metal, the magazine, not the genre of music. And I don't know, Weird Tales got together and had a kid that, I don't know. That kid kind of looks like Dragon Magazine, if you ask me, but it has that feel. It has that it is a real magazine. It's not several mimeographed pages stapled together. It doesn't look like it was printed in a Kinko's and then, you know, sent in a self-address stamped envelope. So no, this isn't like the fan magazines of the 70s, 80s, 90s that I grew up with and am very familiar with. This is a really good looking and really nice feeling, smelling, good time magazine, Strange Eons. I highly recommend you pick it up. It's full of all kinds of good stuff. Currently in issue, I believe, 19, we have a multitude of really cool bits and pieces here. Got some, and one thing I like about it, it's very colorful. It's only $7 American, and it has like real things in it, stuff that, you know, it's not like the people who put it together, like, oh, I better check all my friends. And I love the small press magazines. I love small press. Small press is so cool. It's stuff that I can do and also that I can learn from for my own small press stuff. But Strange Eons is not small press. It doesn't have that small press feel. It has a feel of several people who know what they're doing, are putting something together, people who have like a lot of experience in the Cthulhu mythos, printmaking, whatnot, not printmaking, publishing. And the editor-in-chief is Rick Tillman, the executive editor is K.L. Young, and fiction editor, Justin Steele, and head art creep is Nick the Hat. And yeah, they've got various staff writers, and yes, they've got all kinds of fun things in it. Right now in, I think, issue 19, yeah, 2016, there is Return to the Witch House, and there is illustrated parts of H.P. Lovecraft's sonnet cycle, Fungi from Yoggoth, in it from various parts. And it has all kinds of fun little sections, and I really, really recommend it. There is The Flesh Devil by Christy DeMeester, illustrated by Nick the Hat, and it's pretty fun. There's some other good stories in here. I really like how they play with textures quite a bit. Like, there is textures of old paper in the backgrounds of the images. I mean, it's very subtle, but it's also pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Yeah, if you are going to subscribe to a magazine, I highly recommend that you subscribe to Strange Eons. I can't tell if it's like a quarterly or a monthly. I don't think it's a monthly. I believe it's a quarterly or a yearly. Or maybe biannual. I'm not quite sure. But I say, let's all subscribe to Strange Eons. Let's get their publication numbers up, and let's make it so that we can make it at least a quarterly. That's my goal. That's my goal with a lot of these that I talk about. I want Audulent Void or Audient Void to be a magazine that everyone picks up. I want all these little small press to get as good looking as Strange Eons and get as much, I don't know, circulation as a smaller mainstream publication. That's my goal. I want to spread the Cthulhu mythos to every aspect of everyone's life. I want it to take over. I want everyone to be a part of it. No, I'm not looking to be some sort of like low-rent Jim Jones type. I just want to pollute everyone's mind with H.P. Lovecraft's writings and the writings of Clark Ashton Smith and Robert E. Howard and Lynn Carter and all you new writers out there. Are you a new writer? You should send something to Strange Eons. They'll probably really appreciate it. And if not that, go with someone else. Go with all of these other great magazines that I've talked about in the past and small press publications that do poetry. And even if I haven't talked about it, find one. If you have one that I haven't talked about, message me. I would love to talk about it. Strange Eons. It's so nice. It's such a good book. I have 4 issues currently, and I want more back issues. I don't know. I'm thinking now that I'm starting to get a little bit of money from making donuts. It's like, I don't want to collect pulps because they're so fragile, but maybe I should start collecting some of these older magazines of Eldritch lore. I don't know. Look out, Worlds of Cthulhu, I'm coming after you next. Not to do a review, because, you know, but to collect. All right. Enough of me rambling about magazines. Make sure you check out What the Moon Brings, which I am in the process of recording right now. Well, not right now, but I recorded a little bit of it earlier today. And probably through the magic of editing, you will have heard that before you hear this. And at some point in time, I will finish The Door to Saturn, and that should be popping up in the readings section on pgttcm.com any day now. Thank you so much for listening to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. I have been your host, D to the B Spitzer. Remember, You can find me at the HPL Film Festival in Portland, Oregon, October 8th and 9th. I won't be there the 7th because I'll be making donuts that night. And thank you again. And you can always check us out on pgttcm.com. Go to the RSS feed source at pgttcm.podbean.com. We're on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram. We got a YouTube, but we don't use it. And if you want to get in contact, go to If you want to contact me, go to pgttcm.com/contact. Write me a letter. It'll get shot to one of my emails that I check regularly. I did have an email address for People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos, but it was too long for people to type, and I quit checking it after a while, so if you sent me something, I'll just send it again, because I'm not going to read it unless it goes through one of the social media outlets or through pgttcm/contact. All right. Thank you again for listening. Next episode, we will be talking about, I think we're talking about German existentialism? No, that's not, that can't be right. That's not this podcast. No. Next time, I think we're talking about, let me look at what I have on my list. Oh. Caligari and German expressionism. Yeah, Caligari and German expressionism. We're going to be talking about the cabinet of Dr. Caligari, the madness of the madness of Caligari, which is coming out from Fennigan and Bremer, edited by the one and the only 50 billion exclamation points go to Joe Pulvert Sr. And we'll also be talking about the whole movement that spurred any of that new general German expressionism as it relates to film and the arts. Yes, I know, it's that episode. It's one of those episodes where I talk about stuff that people are like, I don't care about this. But you know what? Some people do care. Some people really like this stuff and check this podcast out for that stuff specifically and are kind of lamed out that I talk about space monsters. All right. That's enough of me for now. Remember, stay strong, stay weird, stay active. I need to come up with a catchphrase. Write me a catchphrase, and I'll say it on air. Write me a letter, and I'll say it on air. Write me... I can't think of anything clever. All right, pgttcm.com. Remember Found Item Clothing. Remember Bunny Slippers. Remember Alderaan. Peace. Tell me I'm recording. Oh my god, I hope I'm still recording. Oh god, I am still recording. That would have sucked to redo.